just continuing with the things that we've been talking about over the past month or so, just following Jesus, becoming like him and stuff. And last week, man, I really went overboard. I don't like to talk for more than 30 minutes or so. Ops.
That speech was good.
And I just had too much to talk about, but it was, hopefully it was helpful. So we ended up talking about how God wants to be the primary source for our needs, to meet our needs, right? That's his heart's desire. And, you know, we looked at how we have these needs that are legitimate needs, but we often resort to trying to fill those needs in our own strength, right? And we end up going in different directions because usually there's stuff we got to do that maybe not be so good, right? So we're learning that we have a Father who not only already knows what we need, he delights to meet the needs that we have in our life, right? We looked at Matthew 6, 31 and 32. He says, don't worry, what are you going to eat? What are you going to drink? What are you going to wear? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things, for your heavenly Father knows. He knows that you need these things. It's not a mystery to him. It's not news to him. He knows, right? And so in Matthew 7, Jesus kind of expands on this a little bit. He says, what man is there among you who, when his son asks for a loaf, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, he will not give him a snake, will he? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give what is good to those who ask him? That's his heart, right? He's a good daddy.
Yes.
That wants to give us everything that we could possibly need, right? So the issue that we struggle with, honestly, is, do I really believe that he's going to do that? Do I really know that he loves me like that? That he cares about me like that? Do I really know that in my heart of hearts? And that's the thing that we struggle with because, you know, let's be honest. We can't touch him, right? We can't. He's there, but there's faith involved because we can't see him and feel him like a regular person, you know what I mean? And so, I would say all of us, really, we live as if we're not really connected to him, right? So many times we live our lives as if he's a million miles away instead of being in us and around us, okay? And this separation, which is a false separation, right? We've been talking a lot about how we're one with him. We're one in Christ, right? There's no separation. Nothing can ever separate us from him. But yet, in our minds, we still struggle with that sense of separation. And what that actually ends up being is a mindset that we call the orphan spirit. Okay? There is this spirit that operates in the world that causes people to feel like God doesn't care, that he's not with you, that there's this, you know, huge chasm separating you and God, right? And so I want to just talk with you a little bit tonight about this and just let's have a dialogue about it. We covered this actually a couple of years ago, but so I was like, well, Lord, you want me to talk about it again? Yeah. Because see, he's building stuff. He's building his foundation in us. And tonight, you're either going to get set free from an orphan spirit, or if you already are, you're going to receive a commission to set others free. That's what the Lord told me about tonight. And so, what are the characteristics of people, you and I, that are still being affected by the orphan spirit? Now, here's the first one. Difficulty trusting others. Okay? The idea that you have in your mind is, nobody cares about me except me. Okay? Nobody cares about me. I'm the only one that cares about me. Right? And that manifests in an inability to trust people. Because you just can't imagine that anybody really cares about you. Right? And so what does that end up doing? Well, it puts you in a place of isolation. Right? That you separate yourself out. Is anybody, would you say that you've been dealing with that, or you have dealt with that in your life? And you can just talk about it for a minute?
Oh, yeah.
Huh?
Do you want me to talk?
Yeah, please.
Oh, okay. Well, actually, I had a spirit of rejection over me and my family. It was actual spirit, you know? And this prophet came along. She's actually, her name is Isabel Alum. Do you ever hear of her?
No.
Well, she's actually pretty famous. She's a big deal. And when she was prophesying over me, she said, you don't have to worry. This has always been a part of your life. This is a genetic curse. I was thinking, well, maybe you should get rid of it, you know. That was a good idea. And so prophets don't do that. So I'm like, well, what are we doing? No, I didn't actually ask her. I didn't actually ask her.
So wait. She told you what the problem was and then didn't give you a solution.
No, she did not.
She obviously didn't take my training.
No.
No, it was like a 20-minute prophecy and blah, 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 blah. And it's not you. She has an accent. She said, it's not you. This is a spirit of rejection. So she went through the whole shebang, and I thought, well, maybe I need deliverance. Yeah. And so I've gone for many years' worth of it, and I really feel like God really set me free.
Okay.
And it's a real spirit. I mean, you know what's funny? Because I've asked my family members, well, you don't really have to ask your family members. You can kind of see, like, symptoms, you know.
And usually you're the recipient of those symptoms.
Yeah, but it's throughout the whole bloodline of my father's side. You can see it like that. It's like that. They fight with everybody because they think that they're being rejected. It's the weirdest thing. So I don't mean to talk too much, but it broke off. Yeah. But I have always felt that way, and it actually, you know, for many years, but it broke off.
Okay.
Amen. Amen.
Awesome.
Amen.
Thank you, God. Right? Yeah. My goodness. So then the next one is, this is kind of interesting. Dysfunctional self-sufficiency. Independent, unteachable. Wow. This was me about 20 years ago. Okay? 20? What do you think? Yeah, about 20 years ago. No. 30 years ago. I'm bad with dates. Okay. This was me about 30 years ago. That I was somebody who, you know, was basically unteachable. You know, I knew what I knew that I knew, and you couldn't tell me different. Okay? You know, because I was never really accepted, you know, because I never had, I realized the other day I was talking to somebody about this whole spiritual mom and dad thing. I never really had one. I had brief periods where somebody did that for me, but I never had, in terms of a long-term, you know, relationship with a spiritual father or mother. And so in that situation, you know, I was self-sufficient to a fault. You know, I knew what I knew, and you couldn't tell me anything different. And what ended up happening through that, you know, and I've told this story in a different context in the past, but what happened because of that is I single-handedly caused the church split. This is back in the late 80s. Okay? And,
Did you really?
Huh? Can't hear you.
Did you really do that?
I really did that. Yeah, absolutely. Oh, yeah. Because, see, I had the word of the Lord. Okay? I had the word of the Lord, you know? And the pastor was way off base. And I made sure that he knew it and everybody else knew it. Okay? It was not good. It was not good. Okay? But it comes out of this place of this orphan spirit thing, because, you know, you have to prove yourself. I'm right. I don't need you people. I know I'm right. Okay? Bad news. Bad news. Number three, difficulty making commitments and maintaining long-term relationships.
Oh, can I speak on that one?
God, come on.
I never had a problem making a commitment. That wasn't my problem. It was long-term relationships. I trusted nobody. I come from Brooklyn, and I trusted not even my own mother. Ooh. I mean, I trusted nobody. And my mom, I mean, none of you guys didn't have the pleasure of meeting my phenomenal mom, but she was a woman of prayer. She was a woman of amazing prophetic ministry, you know, that, I mean, and from her own house. I mean, to the point where she could call me up and tell me, you're doing such and such and such and such, and I want to know why. You know, I'm serious.
You want to know what happened? We're going somewhere, her and I, right? Some ministry thing, right? Her mom calls her up. Was it the same day or later?
We were in the car.
We were in the car.
Yeah.
She calls her up and says, who's the white man with the ponytail you're with right now?
My mother had never met him. I had talked to her about him, but I didn't describe him. I had talked to her about him, that, you know, we were ministering together and stuff, and I hadn't talked to her about him. But she called me up while we were in the car, and she says, okay, no, what she said was, what are you doing with that white married man with the ponytail? That's what she said. Okay? That's what my mother said, all right? Because my mother was like a stickler. I mean, I grew up very old world with certain things. And my mother, what are you doing in that car with a married man?
Yeah.
Okay, white married man at that. Okay. But, you know, and of course I explained to her who it was, and she understood. But, you know, one of the things that I suffered with was relationships. Since I trusted nobody, I didn't have very long. You know how some people have friends that they've been friends since the third grade, and they have friends. I mean, I don't even have friends that I went to college with. I mean, I just didn't do that. I didn't stay friends with people that long. And yet God did a transformation in my life. We've been friends for over 20 years now.
It's shocking.
Okay, I mean, that for me is like a big to-do. Okay, huge, huge, huge big to-do. My sister is still friends with people she hung out with when we were teenagers. I couldn't tell you anything. If I saw them now, I wouldn't recognize. I never kept friends like that. Yet God moved in my life in such a way and transformed me. Like I said, I didn't have problems with commitments. My yes was yes. That's something my mother instilled in us, you know. You be a person of your word. My yes was yes and my no was no. If I told you I was going to do something, you could bet your bottom line, unless I was dying, it got done. But I didn't trust people, and I kept people at a distance. And although people, you know, would befriend me, I was like, yeah, uh-huh. And it took God to really tear that down. And truthfully, it wasn't until I moved to New Jersey when I grew up in a church in Brooklyn. I mean, I didn't grow up, but I got saved when I was 25, and I got saved in a church in Brooklyn. And even in Brooklyn, I was still like, you know, with my friends, I love the Lord, but I was still, you know. And it wasn't until I come out here that I totally received freedom. And it was in one of your workshops. And I don't think you even remember.
Wow.
We had a workshop in your house.
Really?
Okay.
That must have been a long time ago.
Okay. And it's even longer when I tell you when it was. We were doing the play. We were doing a play together.
Oh, my Lord.
Okay, this is when we used to be performers. Okay. And we were working on one of our plays. Okay.
Right.
And you decided to just do something about, I don't know, you did a quick teaching on something. But that totally set me free. You did a quick prayer, and it was no big deal, but it was something that just totally transformed me. From that point on, it was like, all of a sudden, that verse that says, love believes all things,
yeah.
Love, you know, trust, and all of that became so real in me. And it was a transforming, and I never told him this, but, you know, but it was a transforming thing in my life. I mean, our personalities and our friends, our friendship. Like, I have friends now that I've had since my son was a year old, and we're still friends, you know. And although we may be in different churches, different places, but we're still friends. We call each other, and I enjoy seeing them. I have friends that I work with that I would have never done that before. People that I used to work with, I just went away with three girls that I used to work with 10 years ago. And we're still friends. We get together at least once or twice a year, go somewhere, hang out, have dinner, and just catch up. But that may seem small to you. It's huge for me. So I just praise God.
Praise God.
Awesome. You know, the reason why that folks have that, we have that difficulty making those relationships is characteristic number four. There's a fear of intimacy and vulnerability. Right? You're afraid to really be yourself. You know, because you have your own issues that you don't like yourself too much, and so you're afraid that other people will agree with you if they really see what you're like, you know? So there's this real fear of being open and vulnerable to other people as a result of this orphan spirit thing, right? How about this one? Suspicion about people's motives. Easily offended, rejecting others before they can reject you.
Yeah,
okay? I'm going to push you away, right, before you get too close to mess with me. Okay? It's like I'm going to make sure I keep you at arm's length. So if you start getting too close to me, I'm going to do something. I'm going to say something to mess this thing up so that you run away from me. Okay? Because again, there's this idea that there's something wrong with me. And I don't want anybody to come in and either tell me that or, you know what I'm saying? Okay? And any of you, really, if you feel like you want to share on these things, you know, I want to give, you know, an opportunity for dialogue on some of this stuff. I mean, obviously, these are not really positive characteristics, so you're admitting to... So this whole idea, you know, of trying to control people and situations is a huge manifestation of an orphan spirit. You feel like you've got to keep things under your control at all times, you know, otherwise it's going to come and mess you up. Number six, distrust of leaders and authority in general. Man, that was me big time. It was just, wow. You know, back in those times, man, it was like, phew. Thank God, you know, for me, the Lord did connect me in the early 90s with Pastor Jim Tate.
Oh, amazing man of God.
Founding pastor of this church here, Calvary Tabernacle. It wasn't called that back then, you know, but he was a real father to me. And he just loved me. He just loved me and accepted me for who I was, you know, and that's really what made the difference for me. But this whole thing of being distrustful, you know, of leaders and authority, big characteristic. Here's an interesting one. Lack of direction or sense of destiny. Okay? When you have this orphan spirit thing, you're separated from the Father. See, the Father is who you get your destiny from, right? You know, it's a genetic DNA thing, right? And so when you're living as if you're separated from him because you think you're separated, because you think he doesn't want you, you think that he's upset or angry or disappointed or whatever, that orphan thing, it's like, well, who am I? What am I here for, right? There's just no sense of destiny in your life. Number eight, you have difficulty making major decisions. It's like, what am I going to do? Because you refuse to receive counsel. You know? It's like you've got these big decisions to make, but you don't know what to do. At the same time, I don't want anybody to know my business. You know? You can't know my business. So I'm not going to get the help I need. Because I don't trust. See how this all kind of flows together? Number nine, fear of making mistakes, of failing, or facing the consequences of those mistakes. You know, it's like, you know, here's the deal. When you're an orphan, you know, you usually don't like yourself, and you can't. To make a mistake is almost devastating, because it confirms to you what's wrong with you, that there's something defective in you, that you can't do anything right. Okay? Yeah. And so, you know, it's a devastating thing when you fail. You're unable to learn from your failure. Instead, you are beaten down by your failures. You feel like a total, just like a total failure. It's like I can't do anything, right? Number 10, there's a continual striving. Yeah, want to talk about that?
I want to touch on, I don't want anyone to know my business.
Come on, preach, Jackie.
Come on down.
He knows I don't like that, right, Anna?
Yeah.
You gave that to your daughter.
Huh?
You gave that to your daughter. She doesn't like to go up there either.
Oh, no, I don't like it. But this is something that has been really heavy throughout my life, where I would say, I don't want nobody to know my business. I'll just talk to God. It's just me and God, just me and God, just me and God. Well, guess what? That was a form of isolation, even though, yes, you talk to God about everything. But come on, we're all brothers and sisters here.
No
and
man
you
is
have
an
to
island.
Develop trust with someone. You know what I'm saying? And so I found that I was isolated. I was in denial. You know, because I was afraid to let people, to let my guard down, to let people know me and where I have come from, where God was taking me. And because I had done that before, and I was severely, hurt by it. But I thank God that today, no, I don't care. I'm transparent. You want to know anything about me, I'm going to let you know where I came from. I'm going to let you know where I'm going, But I do want to say this. I thank God for the fields, because that's where I received my breakthrough.
Amen.
Okay? When Russ took me up there, I thank God for you too, everything I've learned. But when Russ took me up there to meet with them, I discovered so many things, concerning me, things that I didn't even know about, certain attachments that I was carrying. I didn't know.
Wow.
But God revealed it through them, through their ministry. And it set me free, because my business was not my business. It was God's business,
wow.
Because he created me. So he made me to, he showed me that I can talk about what's hurting me, what's deep inside, because that's where my freedom will come when I share. He showed me who I can speak to. For those who don't judge you, those who really love you for who you are.
That's right.
That I don't have to be afraid to tell my sisters or my brothers, I used to hang out, I used to do drugs, and there might be somebody God wants me to minister to
That's right.
I made many mistakes.
Right.
I had a different men in my life before. I wasn't a prostitute, but then again, I'm just being really naked before you right now,
mm-hmm.
because it's like, if you're not married and you have different partners, come on now.
Yeah. Hello.
You understand what I'm saying? So, I'm not afraid now to say who I was and who I am now, because my business is God's business.
Amen.
So therefore, it also becomes your business, and that God will work in me, you work with me through that. And I just want to really thank God for that. Thank God for the fields. Thank God for what I have learned here through being under Russ and Debbie. Anna too has been very important in my life too, speaking with me and ministering to me, praying over me, and always giving me an encouraging word, always speaking positiveness in my life, and those are the kind of people that you want around you.
That's right.
People that are going to speak positive things into your life, that are going to encourage you, that's not going to judge you and make you feel ugly, because you can do that all by yourself. And it's hard, and you have to realize that sometimes you do need someone else to help you come out of that. And now what God is doing with me is teaching me how to take others out of the fire too, how to take them out of that pit. As he works in me, he's using me to do it the same for others.
Right.
So that's what I had to share.
That's awesome.
Thank you. Beautiful.
Come on.
That was good.
See, you could try to hide the gift, but
hello.
I didn't talk to you. I just stared at you.
Yeah, it's amazing. Wow. So moving on, another characteristic is there's this continual striving to succeed and prove yourself to gain recognition. Okay? I'm going to say something right now that is going to offend somebody somewhere.
Great.
Okay? But, you know, there are folks who, because of the orphan spirit, they have to have a title.
Oh my God.
In front of
Hello.
Your name. And they have to tell you about all the degrees, you know, when you, they hand you their card, right, and it has all those letters after their name, you know, just telling PhD and blah, 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 you know, all that kind of thing. There's this need to prove yourself because you're not happy with yourself to begin with, right? You don't know who you are. You know, you were saying before about not wanting to reveal who you are, you know, or who you were. But the reason why you can do that now is because you know who you are.
Exactly.
You see? And when you know who you are, I don't need to tell you what my job is. You know? I mean, it's just, there's no need for that.
That's right.
So you'll find that when you see people who are making a big deal of themselves, making sure that you know they're in charge, you know that this is their thing and this is their ministry, you know what I'm saying? You know, you walk into some places and you see this life-size photograph of the leader, you know? It's just, I don't know, reminds me of some of the communist nations, right? Where the dictators put their big posters up with it just so that they know, that the people know Big Brother's watching, you know, that kind of thing. But that's a symptom of the orphan spirit. Because you've never been affirmed for who you are by the Father, so you've got to try to make sure that everybody knows what you think that they should know. Does that make sense? Right? Feeling unloved, unaccepted, unappreciated, insecure, abandoned, or the fear of those things. All symptoms of an orphan spirit, okay? You know, obviously there can be times when you feel like, you know, people don't love you, right? Because they probably don't. But if that's kind of an ongoing thing in your life where it's like, you know, daily or weekly or whatever, you just feel like people don't love you, that you know, nobody accepts you, nobody likes you, you know, you're always feeling like people are talking about you behind your back, you know, behind your back, you're paranoid, all this kind of thing. That's orphan spirit right there to the max, okay? Because you are not living in a oneness with your Father. Okay, so it just manifests in all these other things. The last one is, you have little or no sense of belonging. It's like you can never put down roots, you know, because of trust issues, because of inability to be real and vulnerable and you know, accepting of others and whatnot, always trying to prove yourself, pushing people away. You know, you never develop a sense of belonging, a sense of root. In any situation, you always feel like an outsider. Okay? And so, these characteristics of the orphan spirit can be, we can have, you know, little bits and pieces of this. We can have, you know, a lot of it. It just depends on where you're at, what your experience has been with God, really. Because the only way that we get set free from the orphan spirit is we got to break our disagreements with the lies that it brings to us, or the lies that we've been taught, the lies that we've been believing. You know, as we went through this list, maybe you said to yourself, wow, that's kind of like me, right? If that's the case, then you've got to recognize that that's a characteristic that's in your life. And what it means is that you have not yet experienced Papa's love. Okay? You haven't come into an encounter with the love of God that corrects your lie, right? Shows you the opposite, shows you the truth, okay? So, in getting free from an orphan spirit, recognizing what these are the symptoms that I carry, but I don't want these. I break my agreement with the lies behind this, and now, Lord, I come before you because I want to be baptized in your love. God, I tell you, God has been stirring my heart over these past number of weeks as we've been doing this and different things, that he wants us to come into an experience of his love that goes so far beyond what we've yet tasted. And, you know, I'm not saying that that none of us have tasted his love, none of us have experienced it. I just feel in my heart so strongly that this is a time where he's saying, would you please let me totally saturate you, baptize you afresh in my love. I feel like that he's calling us to step into this place of becoming radical in our ability to love people. And so this issue of being orphaned, we will never be able to do that. It's impossible to truly put the needs of somebody else first when you yourself are so needy because you're an orphan. Because you don't feel like you've been accepted by God. You don't feel like he really loves you. You don't have an experience of that in your own life. So how can you give what you don't have?
Hello.
Basically what the Lord is saying, right? So it's like he wants us to be healed of whatever orphan things or orphan tendencies that we still have in our life. But even that's not enough. He's saying, okay, now you got healed. How about you be the catalyst for other people getting set free from those same things? How about you being a vessel, a channel of my love into other people's lives who are in that place of feeling orphaned from God? The orphan spirit is such a lie. It's such a lie because God is closer than the air we breathe.
Yeah.
And yet people will not accept that or believe that because of what they've been told, what they've experienced, how people have treated them, right? Their background, all these different things have built into their psyche the lies about God and about how he really feels about them, you know? And so I just, again, tonight I feel like that's what he's saying. Let me come and deliver you from any kinds of orphan things going on in your heart, and then let me baptize you in my love. Because in Romans 8, you know, he says that if you're led by the Spirit, you are sons and daughters of God. You are, right? We're sons and daughters of God. He says, you've not received the spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you have received a spirit of adoption as sons. It doesn't say daughters, but we understand, right? Women, you got to be sons. We guys got to be a bride, so we'll figure that out some point, right? But he says, you know, you have received a spirit of adoption. That's the opposite spirit to the orphan spirit, the spirit of adoption. It's when you and I say to the Father, Lord, I accept you as my Father. I accept you. I want you as my Father. Right? He's already said, I've received you. I've accepted you. I've brought you in. I've reconciled myself to you. Right? But the spirit of adoption, do you realize that you can be adopted into a family and never feel like you're part of that family?
Yes.
Yeah.
If you don't accept the parents that have been given to you as an adopted child, and I have a testimony about that. It's too long to tell you, but I have good friends in Brazil who did that, and their daughter was a hellion for years. She was rebellious and just messed up big time, and the answer to the whole situation came when she finally admitted that she had never accepted her foster parents as her parents. And the moment she said, I accept you as my mom and my dad, everything changed.
Wow.
And so the Lord's saying, just do that before me. Say to me tonight, I accept you, Daddy. I accept you as my Father.
Yes.
I want that, right? And that's the spirit of adoption that breaks the chains of the orphan spirit in your life. Okay? So, tonight, I just feel so strongly that the Lord wants to rebaptize us in this amazing love that changes everything. It changes everything. Are you willing for that tonight? We're gonna share some things with you, and we're gonna worship. But I just felt like the Lord wanted to give us some things that would help us in this transition, in this coming to Him and saying, "All right, Lord, I want more of You. I want Your baptism of love tonight." Right. So I've asked Juan to read something that I discovered a number of years ago that is very, very powerful as a love letter from the Father based on the Word of God. And I just want you to receive this tonight as that, and allow the Lord to just minister to you.
The cry of a father's heart from Genesis to Revelation. Father's love letter. My child, you may not know me, but I know everything about you. I know when you sit down and when you rise up. I am familiar with all your ways. Even the very hair on your head are numbered. For you were made in my image. In me you live and move and have your being. For you are my offspring. I knew you even before you were conceived. I chose you when I planned creation. You were not a mistake. For all your days are written in my book. I determined the exact time of your birth and where you would live. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. I knit you together in my mother's womb and brought you forth on the day you were born. I have been misrepresented by those who don't know me. I am not distant and angry, but I am the complete expression of love. And it is my desire to lavish my love on you. Simply because you are my child and I am your father, I offer you more than your earthly father ever could. For I am the perfect father. Every good gift that you receive comes from my hand. For I am your provider and I meet all your needs. My plan for you has always been filled with hope because I love you with an everlasting love. My thoughts towards you are countless as the sand on the seashore. And I rejoice over you with singing. I will never stop doing good to you, for you are my treasured possession. I desire to establish you with all my heart and all my soul. And I want to show you great and marvelous things. If you seek me with all your heart, you will find me. Delight in me, and I will give you the desires of your heart. For it is I who gave you those desires. I am able to do more for you than you could possibly imagine. For I am your greatest encourager. I am also the Father who comforts you in all your troubles. When you are brokenhearted, I am close to you. As a shepherd carries a lamb, I have carried you close to my heart. One day I will wipe away every tear from your eyes, and I'll take away all the pain you have suffered on this earth. I am your father, and I love you, even as I love my son, Jesus. For in Jesus my love for you is revealed. He is the exact representation of my being. And he came to demonstrate that I am for you, not against you. And to tell you that I am not counting your sins. Jesus died so you and I could be reconciled. His death was the ultimate expression of my love for you. I gave up everything I love that I might gain your love. If you receive the gift of my son Jesus, you receive me. And nothing will ever separate you from my love again. Come home and I'll throw the biggest party heaven has ever seen. I have always been father and I will always be father. My question is, will you be my child? I am waiting for you. love your dad, Almighty God.